It's a long story that we've heard today, from the triumphal entry of Jesus to his death on the cross. It is really kind of the Palm Sunday's gospel is really kind of the cliff notes for the rest of the week. It kind of gives us a short version of what all will happen in this week. There are major characters in this story we heard today, but I like to think about some of the minor characters, and the one that I find most intriguing is the man called Barabbas. Barabbas is the man who is released when the people are given a choice either to release Jesus or him. There's not much detail about this man. This version says, "Away with this fellow, release Barabbas for us." This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. From accounts in the other Gospels, we know that Barabbas was a notorious prisoner, that he was with the rebels who committed murder in the insurrection, and he was a bandit. So here is the crowd, given the chance to release someone whose crime they cannot even articulate, or a man who has done all of these things. Many of the commentaries on this passage ask if such a custom really existed, but it is recorded in all four Gospels. What is clear, because it is included, is that Pilate was looking for a way out. He intended to set Jesus free as kind of an amnesty in honor of Passover. He really wanted to do that, to get himself off the hook. But the crowd would have none of it. They were disappointed at how silent Jesus was, at how passive he had been, that he was not going to be the powerful national leader that they had anticipated. One writer says, "There is no rage like that of a crowd deceived in its dearest expectations, no idol that it will not throw down when worship gives way to contempt. Only one thing must be done. Away with him. Crucify him." So they chose to free Barabbas and not Jesus, because Jesus had disappointed them. So this man unexpectedly freed, what did he do with this sudden reprieve? Some of the, older and fluffier commentaries think that Barabbas really understood and appreciated and realized that man was killed, and so I should be so grateful. One says, as Jesus hung on the cross, Barabbas must have said over and over again for the remainder of his life, "He died for me. He took my place." I'm not so sure. I'm wondering if Barabbas took it as an affirmation that he might as well continue as he always had, victimizing other people, stirring up violence. He must have felt that he was charmed. "I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. Somebody else will get blamed for it. Someone else will get persecuted." I believe that this character of Barabbas holds great revelation. To consider the extent to which we will go to avoid the disquieting presence of Jesus Christ. The people would rather free a murderous revolutionary than an innocent man who failed to live up to their presumption of what a king would be. They wanted business as usual. And they wanted the only difference to be that they, and not their current oppressors, would be in power. Theologian Soren Kierkegaard says, "The greatest danger to Christianity, I contend, is not heresies, heterodoxies, not atheists, not profane secularism, no, but the kind of orthodoxy which is cultural drivel, mediocrity served up sweet." That hits a little close to home. That we are complacent about what has been done for us, that we do not move forward in a new life, but just go along with the same life, doing our religious things. Having been saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, will we continue with business as usual? Will we continue with mediocrity in our faith? Barabbas was freed. Jesus was killed. One human died that another would be saved. I wonder, did Barabbas honor the gift of new life given to him? Do we?